Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m., middle of the week already, and we are going to talk some Major League Baseball. The hot stove, well, it's really hot, and I think the market has been set now with Stanton on his way out. A lot of news and notes to dive into, and we're going to do that with a great friend of the show, great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, before we talk baseball, you got a great kick out of the fact that Nick Saban received 19,000 votes last night in Alabama. This is something that tickled you pink.
I'm not an Alabama fan. Like, I could care less about the Crimson Tide, but Roll Tide! I mean, that makes me happy. Just to know that Roy Moore gets to go to sleep every night knowing that part of the reason he got beat, if not a major reason he got beat, was because of the Alabama Crimson Tide head football coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me just fascinates me to no end. So, again, great respect for Roll Tide. And, you know, I'm surprised. Like, the only thing that would have made it better was, like, if he had to split half of those 19,000 votes with former Crimson Tide offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin. Please tell me that someone out there voted for Lane Kiffin, because then I giggle. That would make it even better.
Let's talk some baseball. Hot stove and some news that's popped up. I mean, obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Giancarlo Stanton is now a member of the New York Yankees. Looking past this particular deal, I think it was so important because everyone was at a standstill. And now that it's December 13th, we can look past the fact that Stanton's gone and now things can move forward. That held the entire league hostage for a couple of weeks.
Sure. And for the record, you know, look, everyone's going to automatically just circle the name New York Yankees into the 2018 World Series. That may well be. There's a lot of home runs in that lineup. I don't know what you do now as far as, you know, splitting time in right field between Judge and Stanton. I don't know how that's going to work out. There's a lot of home runs in that lineup. There's a lot of strikeouts in that lineup, too. I mean, it's feast or famine. Yeah, they're going to get theirs. There's no question of that. And they're certainly right now, at the moment, the leaders to win the American League. But that's a lot of strikeouts, and they still haven't addressed a major area as far as starting pitching is concerned. So, again, I understand the shock value of it. I understand the great newsworthiness of it, and it's certainly a big boon for Aaron Boone, the new manager over there. It's a huge gain for him, and best of luck to them. But I don't want to go all in and say that's clearly now the American League leader, the American League winner, because the Indians are going to be fine next year. The Astros are going to be fine next year. The Angels, we'll get to them in a moment with their recent acquisition. There's a lot of talent still in the American League. I don't want everyone to just buy into the idea that just by getting Stanton, the Yankees are all of a sudden the winners of the American League.
They're still not better than the Houston Astros. They're not.
I mean, they're better than the Cleveland Indians at this point.
No, I would agree with you. Look, this is a great move. I still say the Yankees roster is incomplete. If I have to give it an eye, it's eye for incomplete. And I think here in the next couple of weeks, it's going to start to take form a little bit more. But right now, no, they're not the best team in the American League. Free agent wise, though, this does kind of affect the market because next season, Bryce Harper is going to hit the open market. It changes things up drastically. But if we focus on this free agent class, D, there's a lot of names out there that I really, really like. Brandon Morrow's on his way to the Cubs. I think they got themselves a closer in Brandon Morrow. Sad to see him leave the Dodgers, but I think he'll fit in well in Chicago. There's a couple of other names floating around. Zach Cozart, shortstop for the Cincinnati Reds, talked a lot about this guy over the past few months, and it's because he's a tremendous defender. He's never played any other position in the bigs for a reason. He's that good. I don't know if he fits into the Yankees' plans, but this is a guy that I think New York would definitely look at pretty heavily moving forward.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons to be interested in Zach Cozart. I mean, obviously the year he's had, there's a lot of places he could go. I don't know exactly where he's going to wind up. I'd love to see him wind up in San Diego. I think that would be an interesting spot for him. San Diego's got a lot of needs, obviously. So I think there's a guy there who could certainly be a factor in Cozart. He's one of the top prospects, certainly. He's certainly one of the top guys at that position. So he's certainly a name that you're going to hear a lot about in the coming days. Another name that I keep coming back to, kind of more over and over again, as far as who's going to probably go here, who's probably going to go there. One guy that I keep coming back to more is J.D. Martinez. Where does he wind up? Because I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to pay him the salary that he's going to demand, and that I think he deserves. Where does he wind up? Because he's a guy who I think, you know, is going to be on the move. I could see him possibly going to the Red Sox. I think that's a very definite possibility because they need help. They need not just necessarily help on the field. It's a marketing game. It's a publicity game. Okay, what do the Yankees do? Well, they went out and got Giancarlo Stanton. Well, what do the Red Sox have to do? Because they have to counter. They have to get a big splashy name. J.D. Martinez is a guy who I think they could certainly put in that spot.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bortstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We'll talk about that show in just a moment. Some of the other big-name free agents, I mean, if we look at pitching, obviously there's Yu Darvish, there's Jake Arrieta, and then there seems to be everyone else. As far as these two names, would you expect something to drop relatively soon? I mean, Arrieta, he's a Scott Boras guy. I think he's going to get paid, and I've seen the short list of teams that we could probably consider front-runners to land Arrieta's service. I think probably the Nationals have got to be a team that you got to consider. Maybe he goes over to the American League. I could honestly see Jake Arrieta joining up in Houston, which would be tremendous when you look at that potential lineup. And then, of course, you have to mention the Chicago Cubs, the incumbents. So as far as Arrieta and Yu Darvish go, where do you see these two fitting in the free agency period?
I know that Darvish, you know, I don't know exactly how... I don't care about, you know, he was tipping pitches or whatever. But why couldn't he go back to Texas? I think a lot of people kind of overlook that idea. Because he was loved there. He was. He was kind of beloved there. I don't see him being a guy who, especially, I mean, you know, you look at past performances. You look at most recent past performances. They weren't good, you know, for Yu Darvish. Whether it was Game 2 or Game 7 of the World Series. Neither one of them went very well. So... you almost wonder if his value didn't completely diminish in every other city, you know, in almost every other major market. And I'd almost hate to see him have to wind up on some also-ran team just to be a fill-in guy or just to be, you know, the third guy on some mid-level team. So I almost wonder if Texas doesn't go back in with him. I think another team that would be interesting would be San Francisco. Clearly, he would fit in that market a little bit. He's a number one pitcher by any stretch of the imagination, he would fit well in that market. And I could see the Giants kind of, you know, thinking to themselves, okay, well, what he couldn't do in LA, he can do in San Francisco. Kind of a stick it to a move like that. The other guy you mentioned is Jake Arrieta. There's a lot of pitching out there, especially with him. You look at a guy like Alex Cobb. You look at Lance Lynn. There's a lot of names that are out there. So I think there's a number of guys that are going to. One guy that would be interesting, you know, there's not a Chris Sale out there, but Chris Archer. If Tampa Bay makes Chris Archer available, that could be a name that could be on the move also. So there's quite a few names, but as far as Arrieta's concerned, I mean, as far as Yu Darvish is concerned, I know that he's not going to be on the Dodgers. That's obviously not going to happen. It'd be interesting to see if Texas doesn't take a shot and go back with him.
I think that was kind of the idea when the Rangers dealt him in the first place, that he would end up going back to Texas. Like that was the story that floated around. And remember, at the trade deadline last year, there were three names in the pitching category that were huge gets: Darvish, Gray, and Verlander. And it seemed that teams, even though they knew that there was a great chance Yu Darvish would be a rental, Darvish and Gray seemed to be the two names that squads were most, franchises were most interested in. And now looking at it, boy, I think a lot of people were just wrong in that regard, Steve.
Yeah, no, and I could see that definitely being a possibility. I think one team we can eliminate as far as them making significant, you know, payroll increases of the Marlins. Obviously, whatever they're doing in Florida right now, whatever Derek Jeter and company are doing with the Marlins right now, they're not spending money. They're handing out players left and right. It's like an Oprah Winfrey show. You get this free agent, you get this free agent, everyone gets a free agent. I mean, they're just getting rid of people. So I think when you look at this move with Yu Darvish, it wouldn't shock me at all, and I think it's a good move. I think it's a fine move for them to go in that general direction.
Steve, let's move on and talk about the Angels here for a moment. They delivered on definitely one of the top foreign free agents in Shohei Ohtani, a name that everyone is now familiar with, the Babe Ruth of Japan. And we knew that he was going to go to the state of California. We just didn't know if he would go to the northern part or the southern part. I thought Seattle looked like a great spot for Ohtani, to be honest with you, especially after the D. Gordon trade and the ins and outs with that one. However, he chooses the Angels, wanted to go to SoCal. There was the rumor that he wanted to go to a lesser market squad. And if you want to live in Southern California, obviously you go to the Angels over the Dodgers. I mean, there's no question there at all. But now we get the news that he's already had a plasma injection into his right pitching elbow. This is a guy that we're talking about as being a two-way starter. Is this a major cause of concern for the Angels?
It can be. It certainly can be. And again, I'm going to show my LA bias here. How typical Angels is that? I mean, if you're an Angels fan, then you make this big splashy move, and everyone's all excited about it. And you find out about the elbow and the injections and everything. It's so typical Angels to do something like this. Look, it's a big PR move, and it's fine for them to make a PR move. And I thought they were an interesting team going into the second half of this past season. They started to make a little bit of a run. Injuries obviously took their toll on this team, and certainly, you know, if Ohtani is half the guy that he's been billed to be, he's going to be okay. I don't know what the Babe Ruth of Japan baseball translates to American baseball. I
right.
mean, look, you're either Hideki Matsui or you're not. You're either the greatest player to come in here or you're not. Then there's very little middle ground, if you know what I mean. And there's very little of the, oh, he's a really good player, but he's not a great player. You're either the greatest player to come in from overseas, or you're not. And I think there's such a gigantic chasm between those two. It wouldn't shock me if Ohtani turned out to be a great guy for a year or two, and then sort of fell off the radar a little bit. We've seen it before. You get tape on a guy, and the scouting here is a little bit different than how it is in Japan. It wouldn't shock me at all if a guy had a splashy first half of the season or a splashy first season and then just sort of fell into the... It's the Hideo Nomo factor. Mm-hmm. When Nomo first came over from Japan, he was phenomenal the first couple of years because no one knew what his pitching style was. They couldn't emulate it. They couldn't figure it out. A couple of years in, yeah, everyone kind of figured it out. I think that's the same here with Ohtani. I think he'll be very impressive early on, and then I think he'll fall back in with the rest of Major League Baseball, which by no means is bad, but I don't think he's the make or break guy the Angels want you to believe he is.
No, I don't either. And the name that I threw out earlier this week, and again, I'm not trying to terrify Angel fans, but remember the hype that was built around Daisuke?
Can't forget
about that.
Yeah, perfect example. They made him out to be the second coming.
Yes. Yes, and that didn't work out all that well for the Boston Red Sox. With all that being said, just to throw this out there, there's a couple of other pitchers that are well-known that have had the UCL injuries. And again, the crazy thing is, Steve, I don't know how many scouts you've actually talked to. It seems today that when you have a 22, 23-year-old kid, scouts actually do not shy away from the fact that it doesn't scare them off that they've had Tommy John surgery. In fact, some would even go as far as saying they would prefer Tommy John surgery early on in a pitcher's career, as crazy as that sounds.
No, and I think it's okay. I mean, we're past that point now where having the Tommy John surgery means he's untouchable.
Yeah.
So long as he's had the proper treatment since then, so long as he's, you know, learned how to you know, learned how to, you know, change his pitching style a little bit and change his expectations. You know, I don't think it's the be all end all that it used to be. We've seen it. We've seen these injections before. We've seen it with Zach Greinke, Chris Sale, Masahiro Tanaka. They've all had the procedure. They've all come out of it without missing a lot of time. So it's certainly something that in the case of Tanaka especially, they did that. They did the procedure, you know, as opposed to doing surgery. So I think it's one thing that, so long as it doesn't crop up immediately, so long as it's not something that is going to come up during spring training, which I expect you'll see very little of him during spring training, I think it's something that he can be okay with. But look, the Tommy John days are gone, where it's the worst thing to ever happen to a pitcher. We saw it with Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke had it, and he's turned out pretty decent since. We've seen it happen before. Pitchers have. I almost prefer it. You mentioned it a moment ago. I almost would prefer a kid in high school or college, if he's already drafted and he's already going to be on a roster, go through that procedure now. Go through that procedure now, rather than having to go through it later on and cost the team millions of dollars.
Yeah, again, I think it's one of those deals where even the scouts look at it as almost a positive, which is crazy to think about, but it's just the world we live in today and the way medicine has evolved. Steve, before I let you go, I got to throw in a question about the Dodgers. Should be a quiet winter for this team. You did mention a name to me off the air. Where do the Dodgers go this winter, if anywhere?
I look at a guy like Eric Hosmer, first baseman, plays for the Kansas City Royals. I understand they have a first baseman. His name is Cody Bellinger. Bellinger also plays right field. Bellinger can play the outfield. Hosmer's a guy who I think can contribute very nicely for the Dodgers. He's another powerful left-handed batter, which they have quite a few of those already. And I think he's a guy who would fit in nicely with them. I think with the amount of money that's available through some contracts that they're going to dump, the Ethier salary, they're going to dump a few other salaries. Alex Guerrero's salary is going to be dumped. There's a couple of salaries that are going to come off the table here, Carl Crawford. Eric Hosmer is a guy who I would almost look at and dangle out there for the Dodgers as a player that would be a great addition to this team. And let's dispel the notion that the Dodgers blew this whole thing by not getting Giancarlo Stanton. I've heard that over and over again. Oh, they should have gone for Stanton. That would have been the thing that put them over the top. They were 9 innings away from winning a world championship without Giancarlo Stanton and his many, many strikeouts. They don't need him. What they need is a second arm in the rotation. They're going to go out and get that. They're also going to get up some good pitching prospects from their farm system. Guys like Walker Buehler, who we didn't see a lot of in the postseason, didn't see any of them in the postseason, just saw a little bit of him in the late part of 2017 season. They're going to get Andrew Toles back. He's a speedy guy who's going to be able to manufacture runs. That was something the Dodgers couldn't do in the second half of the season, was manufacture runs on base. I think Eric Hosmer is another nice addition. I think it's a guy that you can move around. You can platoon him. You can platoon other guys in that outfield. Eric Hosmer is a guy, to me, who I think would be a big, big addition to the Dodgers if they can go after him this offseason.
Steve Bordstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
I'll be back on the air on Monday, taking a little vacation right now, but always happy to join you on the program here. I'll be back on the air Monday morning with First Sports. It airs 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, in Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. You can hear the show online. Just download the iHeartRadio app and go to our website at foxsports1340.com weekday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Also on weekends, I host a horse racing show called The Fast Track, nationally syndicated, also available through the iHeartRadio app at our website, foxsports1340.com. And if you want to keep up with everything happening on the show, with anything local, national, sports-wise, you can go to visit our Twitter fan page at Fox1340AM.
Steve, always fun. Thank you again for the time. We'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Have a great week.
We got to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.